Hi, this is Nathan McKenzie from Superman the Animated Podcast. In this podcast, I'm currently talking about Superman the Animated Series, which ran for 3 seasons, comprising of 54 episodes, and currently, we are talking about their 3rd and final season. So why don't you come join us? You can find us on all your favourite podcatchers, or you can reach out to us on social media at SupAnimatedPod on Twitter, or TheMWord81 on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at TheMWord81. Or you can go to the webpage, www.themword81.com, or send us an email at themword81@yahoo.com. Hope to see you there.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Batman vs. Two-Face.
Yeah, more Adam West. Hooray.
Yep, and unfortunately, this is the last appearance of Adam West. He actually died partway through production. So I think it was basically he'd recorded his lines, and then it was... Because I don't think William Shatner recorded his lines until like 9 months after.
Hmm. Well, I guess when that, you know, like when Adam West dying meant they had to just think about what they did.
Oh, absolutely. And so, yeah, this is a continuation from Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders. And I think this is because I think Two-Face is one of the famously one of the characters that hasn't been portrayed in that version before.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him in it. And I would have watched the whole thing, so it was kind of cool to see him there.
So
probably because they couldn't do the makeup in that kind of like time period.
Absolutely. And I do like that it's someone who would have been time relevant in the 60s as well. So we open up with the news, and an experiment is being carried out on the criminals of Gotham.
Yes.
Whilst Batman and Catwoman are flirting through a prison cell. So, Harvey Dent, Batman and Robin are attending the test of this device that pulls the evil out of people.
Yeah.
And the idea is, oh, if we remove their evil, they'll be good.
Which... It is like when people say a very comic book idea, this is the definition of it.
Yes.
This is a very comic book idea. Nobody would ever think this would work in reality. I love it because of that.
So it's Joker, Penguin, Riddler, Egghead, and Mr. Freeze.
Yep.
Also in attendance is the man who made the machine, Dr. Hugo Strange, and his assistant, Dr. Harleen Quinzel.
She gets to be there.
One thing I'm glad of, because I was kind of sitting the whole time going, oh, well, we're going to do 60s Harley Quinn. But no, we don't.
No, that was nice, yeah.
I'm assuming that the idea originally was, oh, she's going to be in the sequel. So... Also, Harvey Dent is very dismissive of Robin.
Yes. Poor Robin.
And, yeah, so the plot, one of the plot lines are going to go is, Dick Grayson and Harvey Dent do not like each other. Unfortunately, the evil extraction goes wrong because it's overloaded by all the evil that's going in the machine, because that's what happens when you try and remove 5 sets of evil at once.
Too much evil in the world. Too much evil. And they didn't even go for politicians.
I know. And the extractor explodes and all the evil juice hits Harvey Dent in the face. But Batman gets his cape partially in the way, so that's why he's got the Two-Face effect.
Yeah, it's an interesting revision of that, so...
It also changes his clothes magically.
Again, comic books.
Yeah.
Comic films, in this case.
So we then cut to the opening title sequence, which is various clashes between Batman and Robin and Two-Face.
Yeah. I like their use of the credit sequence. Mm.
Absolutely, and it doesn't make it an origin story, which was the one kind of...
Yeah, that would have been pretty dull. We get that. And oh my god, this film is fast-paced in terms of how much happens in a relatively short time.
Oh, this is...
It's just over an hour, isn't it?
Hour and 12 minutes, and I think it easily could have been an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Could have been a full TV series, like the amount that actually goes on.
Yeah. So, we then cut to Harvey Dent is... surgery is performed on Harvey Dent, which removes the evil.
Allegedly.
Because that's worked every time it's ever been done to Two-Face. Oh, we'll just balance his face out and he'll be fine. And he becomes the district...
To be fair, it probably is the kind of thing they would have tried in the 60s TV show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of got that kind of naivety and hope.
Oh, that's a Batman with naivety and hope. That's not the Batman we've had for a number.
Well,
of
I meant
years.
Of the show, not
yeah,
of Batman
I know, I know,
specifically.
I know.
But that's why people love the Adam West Batman. Isn't that there is that sort of yeah?
Oh, so, it is. You know. I will fully admit I was fully on board for this one. I know last time I was kind of very down on it, but
well,
no,
I can see how it's a massive shift if it's not something you've been like exposed to a lot.
Yeah.
But like once you realise it's not taking the piss and it's all kind of done with love. Sorry, am I allowed to say that?
That's fine.
Okay. And it's kind of done with that.
One.
Yeah. And it's not a very harsh one. And it's done with love and it's done to respect a legacy of the comics. Because ridiculous things happen in the comics even when Batman is serious. And he's always very serious about this. Like, you don't have him, like, goofing off too much, except over Catwoman.
Yeah. So, Harvey Dent becomes the DA's assistant's assistant. Mm. And 6 months later, we cut to King Tut stealing a plane.
Yeah, that was a big diversion. So, King Tut, interestingly enough, when they did the minifigures... I have a King Tut one. And his staff went missing because Ozzy ate it.
Oh, no.
So this is why I do not have Lego out in the open anymore. Because I literally... He was a kitten and he ate it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so that was my... Oh, look, King Tut brought it all back.
Yep. And... We get reminded again that the police in Gotham City in this version are completely and utterly worthless.
Yeah, they are.
And somehow get worse as the film goes on.
It's true, though.
So, Batman and... Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson can't make it to the Millionaire Soiree, which is a double-decker bus tour of the city. Because
billionaires slumming it, clearly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we've never seen a bus before.
And so instead, Alfred and Aunt Harriet, I think her name was, the woman who keeps on making, trying to imply that
Bruce and Dick Grayson
are gay, and then when Harvey Dent shows up, oh, Bruce and Harvey are gay. And
it's very odd.
It's very odd, and it's...
She's like online fandom.
Yeah. She's willing to die with that ship. So, King Tut then, along with two henchmen, jumps onto the bus. He does try to monologue. However, we then get a chase sequence involving the Batmobile and a bus
which
stop.
Which is pretty cool. We always love, you know, chase scenes.
Yep, and a bus stop battle, which I think the fighting's... Look, they didn't actually need to make the fighting any good in this film, because obviously it gets onomatopoeia over the top.
Yeah.
But the fighting is actually
It's actually well pretty done. Good action sequences. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, it's enjoyable, I think.
Whilst this happens, Alfred saves everyone by throwing them onto a massive net.
As you do. Alfred is always there to save everyone.
Yep.
In every version.
Though he's not able to save Batman and Robin, who are knocked out with a can snake with knockouts toy toxin.
Yeah. I don't really know what to say about that. It's just like, it's ridiculous, but it's that kind of ridiculous that we love.
And speaking of ridiculous, they're then trapped in canopic jars, and they're going to be buried in concrete. Now, when they first said, oh, you're going to be buried in concrete, oh, they're going to bury around them and it will rise up. No, no, the concrete pours on their faces.
Yeah.
And thankfully, Batman and Robin have jets in their boots.
Thank God.
And
I appreciated that. That was fun, though. I like that.
And as they escape, King Tut gets a concussion and turns back into the professor that he's a split personality of.
Yeah, I don't really know very much about King Tut apart from my little Lego thing. So I don't know how accurate that is or not, but that kind of, I thought that was kind of fun.
And it's the first indication that this was maybe written a few years ago, because I think concussions are taken a wee bit more seriously. I mean, even compared to, like, 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In the same way as, like, single punches are. There's a lot more known about just how bad they can be.
And the other thing that happens immediately afterwards is, again, someone going, oh, they wouldn't do this now. The police decide to interrogate the professor. And when they figure out, oh, if we hit him over the head, he turns into King Tut.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
And it's done as a gag.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's so, so wrong.
Oh, I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt because it's 2017, but...
And also it's a cartoon. I mean, yeah. I'm up there. I think cartoons should take these things more seriously sometimes. But I think it wasn't maybe till the last couple of years till cartoons did start thinking about fully about the people copying what they were seeing, and like how there is plenty of other ways to show almost every version of violence, you know?
Yep. So a public prosecutor comes to defend King Tut, who looks remarkably similar to Catwoman. Just leaving that there. Batman and Harvey Dent talk as the trial of King Tut begins.
Like, you would almost think this is like the end of an episode, or this is like, because we've already got to like, oh, how many villains have we gone through already?
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is what we mean about a lot happening, because this is like barely started.
Yeah. So, Chief O'Hara's answer to everything is ask the Batman. Batman is then a witness, and he wants King Tut to be rehabilitated. And then, as the professor's cross-examined, in all of these, Harvey Dent is really quite aggressive.
Really?
And he succeeds because King Tut gets 15 years in prison. Meanwhile, Harvey asks Bruce to attend a charity event, which is a bachelor auction.
Yeah, bachelor auction. God.
So, whilst this is happening, a package arrives for Batman with the police and Commissioner Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
It is an atlas that's been attacked by bookworms, and several pages are missing.
Yeah, this bit lost me a bit. I was like, I can't deal with this bookworm thing. But yes.
So they figure out that from this clue, they work out that Bookworm is stealing several rare books. And the second you hear the names of the books, you're like,
right, yeah, so, hang on a minute.
Yeah. But that point, you know, okay, so we've had a biplane, a double-decker bus. We also at this point had two of the two henchmen of Two-Face at one point have shown up and stolen the treasure that King Tut stole as well. So they're indicating that Two-Face is still active.
Yeah.
And Batman and Robin go to cut off Bookworm, who has several henchmen who have glasses who take them off before fighting.
Which is very sweet.
Which is nice, because he wouldn't hit him. Well, he'll hit one man with glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second that that Batman and Robin have actually defeated the bad guys, the police show up.
And it's, well, I mean, it's good to see the police doing something, but yep. they're rubbish, so...
And also, it's complete news to Bookworm that he left a clue.
Yeah. Did I?
Yeah, so I think this is the point where Batman starts to go, something's a bit suspicious here.
Yeah.
And he immediately jumps to, oh, Two-Face is back.
Because he gets it. He's the greatest detective.
Actually, in all seriousness, this is probably... This version of Batman is probably the best detective we see. Admittedly, most of his detective work is him jumping to conclusions, but he's very rarely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly he's a better detective than most of the live-action Batman we've seen.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just it's the way it's set up, but also, like, none of them really get the time to do much detectiving.
Yeah.
Because the need, especially in animation, is to move things on quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're only 20 minutes in the film at this point.
Yeah, but, like, you compare it to, like, live action. But, like, animation will never get over that, the thing that it is mostly leveled towards a younger audience.
Yeah.
And they'll always have to have the big set action pieces, so any detectiving is going to have to be pretty quick. But yeah, it's nice because, like, it makes sense as well as it not. It's not just leaping to a stupid conclusion. So it's good to see.
So we go to one of the many, many, many abandoned factories. I genuinely think this version of Gotham is 50% abandoned factory.
Yeah, it's not doing well in its, like, in sort of having all these places working and contributing to the city's GDP.
Yeah. So they immediately arrive to Two-Face and his two henchmen. Two-Face, half of his face is in complete shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're somehow trying to make this a mystery. And go, oh, who is Two-Face?
Who is Two-Face? As if we don't know, but yeah.
The Two-Face is able to successfully defeat the pair by dropping a giant 2 on them.
He's nothing if not thematic.
But the coin lets them live.
The coin. It's all in the power of the coin. Always. Always.
Always the power of the coin.
Always the way to defeat him as well.
Yep. And we then have Batman confront Harvey Dent, who claims to know nothing about this. And then he talks to Two-Face on the phone.
Yeah.
Which...
But they did a lot of that at the time. There's a lot of sort of teasing between them and...
Yeah. This idea that they're still trying to go with... Oh, Two-Face might not actually be Harvey Dent, but he might be working with Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, in another abandoned factory, Doctor Strange is captured by Two-Face. Robin and Batman are clashing over the case. Batman is saying that Robin is too overzealous to catch Harvey, and Robin saying that Batman is is letting his personal feelings get in the way.
Yeah, there's a little bit of tension there.
And Robin gets sent to his room.
I would like to say that Robin is right, of course.
Of course Robin's right, but he still gets sent to his room.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in something that doesn't have a lot of relevance to the plot, other than to give Catwoman something to do...
I mean, literally, they have to fight hard to give her something to do.
Catwoman breaks out of jail by getting a cat to knock out the public defender, breaking out of jail, which apparently she's been able to do the whole time.
Yeah, she's kind of chilling.
And then she swaps clothes with the public defender, which means that...
That's why she looks like this public... Well, that's why the public defender had to look like that.
It's basically, oh, they look the same apart from their eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And so Catwoman manages to escape.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Robin has run off to hunt Harvey Dent. And he finds Harvey Dent in an abandoned factory. A third abandoned factory. Which has the evil extractor in it.
Wow. Yes, yeah, so because this is very important again. I mean, that's the whole point of the episode, so.
And Robin gets gassed by the evil gas, and he now becomes
evil Robin.
Robin.
Yeah.
And this seems to have been set up purely to get Batman and Robin to fight so they can do the meme.
Yes, which is we don't like.
Yeah, they actually do the Batman slaps Robin in the face meme. The exact shot.
Yeah.
Which... Yeah. So Batman knocks out a child.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, I have thoughts about that. You know, like, in the same way as... It's just bad. I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. But at least they made him evil. But it's always hard to watch.
Yeah. Though, thankfully, they then are able to very quickly cure Robin.
Very quickly, thankfully.
And Batman now is... He has got a vial of the cure, which he's then going to use against this Two-Face.
Which is a sensible suggestion.
They then go to an not an abandoned casino.
Yeah. A believed-to-be abandoned casino.
Where they confront Two-Face... on top of a giant billiard board, and he then tries to kill them with giant billiard balls, which leads to them being knocked out.
It's crazy.
Yes, it's almost like this is what happens a lot, is Batman and Robin get knocked out and then they have to come up with some convoluted way to escape. So, several villains get invited to the unmasking of Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which I thought was quite sweet. It's like, you know, celebrate. I like it when they do that. Like, we all know it. We all want to see this happen. I invite you to it. They're always big grandstanding in these episodes.
And because this has been done a few times. I think it's been done mainly with Hugo Strange. This idea of, oh, we will auction off Batman's identity.
Yeah. Like, why not just all contribute money towards something? I don't know. It seems... Yeah.
Well, that's...
Villain auctions seem a little bit too...
Both
believing in honour, like the honour system, and, you know...
That's both times that I've seen this auction done, the same thing happens, which is they all go, let's all just chip in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes sense.
So... One of the villains invited is Catwoman, and our dynamic duo wakes up tied to a giant coin on a hair trigger, which will then flip onto a load of spikes, which Batman immediately points out, no, the fact that we're tied to one side of it, the coin's going to be weighted, so we're going to die.
Because he understands.
Because he understands, and that's, I'm going to go... Well, if Harvey was really true to his principles, he would have tied one on each side, but okay. It's at this point that we find out that Harvey Dent is Two-Face!
Dun, 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 big shock horror.
And that he can basically Jekyll and Hyde transform.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Which somehow affects his clothes. Because he's got a brown and purple suit.
Yes. It's important.
We also find out that Two-Face has already figured out that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Because he's a better detective.
And then he takes off the mask anyway just to prove it.
Which is great.
So, a bidding war happens. Whilst we see, but no one else at this place sees, that they're actually using the stage that they're bidding from to extract all their evil.
Yeah.
And put into the biplane.
I just love the whole idea of the whole concept of it all. It makes me laugh. Just the whole evil extraction thing.
Yep. Meanwhile, Batman triggers the coin toss, and then he and Robin work together so that the coin lands on its side.
Yeah, because they know how to do it. Like, they get this. They get that the indecision is the thing that will always get to him.
And Catwoman manages to help them escape.
Again, she just pops up to do her bit.
She also promises to hand herself back in, but she had her fingers crossed. And
of course she did.
It turns out that Two-Face's plan was to extract all the evil and then gas the city of Gotham.
Yeah, which seems a little bit more evil than we expected.
And it leads to more evil cops.
Yeah.
These are cops that have interrogated the character in this film by hitting him over the head. So, yeah. So Batman and Robin chase after the plane that Two-Face is flying through the city. Robin tries to fire a bazooka at the plane, but it turns out that Two-Face is a world-class pilot.
Of course he is. I mean, like, DA and world-class pilot, aren't we all?
I mean, to be fair, he is, if it's set in the 60s, it is possible he could have been a pilot during World War II. Actually.
Theoretically, yeah.
I mean, they would have had to have established it, but they could have done that. But anyway, Batman and Robin manage to use the ejector seat from the bike and bat boot rockets to reach the back of the plane. Batman's able to neutralize the two gas canisters.
That's kind of out of magic. That's.
Yep. Harvey Dent starts firing at the two and causes the plane to crash into an oil refinery. And as they go to fight at this oil refinery, firstly Batman tells Robin, get yourself to safety. Two, the antidote is cracked, so Batman can't just gas him.
Yeah.
And then we get a fight between Two-Face and Batman. Two-Face possesses his entire body.
Yeah, obviously it's only possible in this iteration of Two-Face.
Because it's more like a kind of spreading disease.
Mm-hmm.
I also note, during this fight, they cut out they stopped doing the sound effect thing.
Yeah, they do. They just do a straight out fight.
They actually go, no, we're going to take this fight seriously. Yeah. Which I think that's a brilliant touch.
Yeah.
And Two-Face is about to win the fight when Batman points out, no, you should use your coin to decide. And it turns out Batman has switched the coin.
Da, da, da. Again, getting how to get through to Two-Face's armor, so to speak.
And this leaves the opening for Batman to convince Harvey Dent to fight Two-Face. And Harvey Dent defeats Two-Face!
Hooray!
Hooray!
Well done!
Harvey Dent is the hero that Gotham deserves!
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, he is. So, the two, Harvey Dent and Batman run from the exploding building. Harvey passes out as Catwoman is able to disappear, but the rest of the villains get caught.
Of course Catwoman is able to disappear.
Batman explains that he switched Two-Face's coin, and he then bombs Gotham City with anti-evil gas bombs.
If only they existed.
Of course he leaves Chief O'Hara to last. And we then cut to a few months later, where Harvey is reformed, has forgotten that Bruce Wayne is Batman, and they basically say, now, Harvey is cured, but Two-Face is still in there, so he could come back.
Yeah, he's, who knows?
He's not going to, but he could.
Depends how many more of these we get to make, which is none.
None.
Yeah.
And Batman is then put up for a bachelor auction, which is won by Catwoman.
Of course.
And then we actually get a post-credit scene that's worth using and discussing.
Yeah.
Which is, in loving memory of Adam West, yeah. Rest well, bright night.
It was fun. Yeah, it was good. It was sad. It was very sad when he... I mean, he lived... He got to a decent age.
Yeah, I think he was in his... Yeah, he was in his 80s when he passed.
Yeah, yeah, because I saw him at Comic-Con once. He looked old, but, you know.
Yeah. So... That was Batman vs. Two-Face, and after the last two films, I think this was a vast improvement, and it was nice to go to watch something that was actually pretty... I could actually see myself watching this again.
Yeah, me too. A lot happens in it.
Yeah.
And it's a bit crowded and stuff, but I just like... I thought it was very good. It really settles in the whole vibe of it. It was just an enjoyable film.
Yep. So that was Batman vs. Two-Face, which is the last, as we said, the last Adam West Batman film that we're doing. Next up, we've got probably the cartoons who is most inspired by the 60s Batman. I think there was a comic adaptation, which is Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, is quite aimed at a younger audience. And this time they're teaming up with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, amazing.
So that's
I'm already on board. It sounds ridiculous.
Yep. Which is the first and only time we're doing Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Mm-hmm.
And the only Scooby-Doo we're doing as well.
Well, it doesn't surprise me it's the only Scooby-Doo we're doing. given that this is DCAU. But, you know, it would be quite fun to see Scooby... interact with some other DC people, perhaps,
yeah.
In the future, who knows?
So, just to go through the next kind of four or five after that, we've got Batman Gotham by Gaslight.
That'd be interesting.
Yep. Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, which is set in the DC animated movie universe. And I'm certainly looking forward to, because I've watched that a couple of times.
Yeah.
I think I might have it on DVD, actually. Lego DC Comic Superheroes The Flash, which I believe is the only film we have featuring The Flash that isn't Flashpoint! and Freedom Fighters The Ray, which is... a bit like Vixen.
Yeah, so... I didn't watch that one. I think I watched the first episode of that one, but not any of the others. So I'm interested in seeing that one.
I mean, if nothing else, it's giving Rosal Tovey work, which is good.
Yeah, we love him.
So yeah, that's what we've got coming up in the near future. Have you appeared on any podcasts recently? You mentioned pre-recording that you were going to be appearing a lot on
I've got a couple of Moonlight ones coming up, so they'll be, once this has gone out, they'll be in the past. We had, because there's two Moonlight comics coming out at the moment, so one on each of those. And I don't know about Iron Fist, because it was also supposed to record this weekend, but we didn't.
Right, okay.
And I couldn't make it, so there may be an Iron Fist one as well.
That's Sons of the Dragon.
Sons of the Dragon, yeah. Mortal Iron Fist. So, hopefully all three.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Rebecca, and we'll be back next week with Batman the Brave and the Bold and Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, can't wait.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU Podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.